When I was about 15 years old, I was getting ready to try out for soccer every year when the fall would start at high school. And so I'd be running in the summers and trying to get in shape for different little time trial stuff. So one summer I was running and running near my parents' house in Blue Springs, and there's this road I would take that was, it didn't quite look like this, it was a real road, but it would go up by the backside of Blue Springs Lake. So it was all wooded on one side, and then the houses on the other side were pretty far off the road. And I was running that way one day, and one of the houses that's maybe 50 or 75 yards off the road, there's this big dog chained up near the front of the house. And it's going nuts, barking, but I'm running, and as I run by, it's got a big metal chain on it, so I just run by. And I go to the end of that street, it's like a little turnaround, and I come back off of that dead end, and as I'm running, I'm able to see that big yard, and I see that dog is still coming towards the road and still barking, like still angry. But I think, well, it's still got a chain on it. Well, when I get closer to the house, I notice it has a big metal chain on it, but I don't know if it's broken it off, which is intimidating to me as I'm seeing it, or maybe they didn't chain it up right or whatever. And so it's this big dog. And I think, well, you know, I've been running all summer. Maybe I can just run by this kind of before it gets to the street, because there's no, I couldn't really turn back. I mean, now if I were 15-year-old me, didn't really think about the fact that you probably could take a really long way around. But I just thought, this is the only way home, so it's going to run by it. Well, start running by it, and as I get closer, the chain is broken. It's coming towards me, and I realize I'm not going to be able to squeeze by it. And so it gets to the street, and I start backing up. And since it's county, like, property on this other side of the street, there's a fence, and it's a barbed wire fence. It's not like a prison fence or something, but it's one of those little, like, barbed wire fences that are, like, this tall with strings of barbed wire. So I'm backing up to that, and as the dog hits the street, or, like, starts to come into the street, I think maybe it'll stop at the street. It didn't stop at the street, and it kept coming, and I'm looking for rocks. Like, that's my, I'm at that stage now of, like, where is a big rock that I could throw at this thing? Because I had some success in the past with that, so I thought maybe that'll work. There's no rocks around though. There are any, you know, just gravel. So I'm like, great. And as I'm backing up, my first thought is it's about halfway through the street, which this has all happened really, really fast. It takes me longer to say it. So it's halfway through the street. I think this dog's gonna hurt me. As it gets on off the street, like towards where I'm at, like closer than the pew right there to me, the thought runs through my head, this dog might kill me, which I, at that age, like, I never really thought about dying when you're 15 or something, you know, but that thought runs through my head. My very next thought, instantly after that, is, God, help, you know, like, just that. I didn't even say it out loud. I just thought it, like, God, help. Like, I don't know what to do. The moment that thought went through my head, somebody yelled, and I look up, and the door to the owner's house is open. And they yelled the dog's name once, which didn't get it. It just stopped growling at me when they yelled its name. And then they yelled its name again, and it started running up to the street, like still ticked off, you know, but it was going to obey whoever that was. So God saved me from that dog, you know. And I mean, the very next time I went running, like, I took a pocket knife with me, and I was like, I'm not, you know, I'm going to be ready this next time. But as I was reading a psalm this week, not the exact same story, I'm sure, but the same sort of stuff happened to somebody that wrote this psalm. So we're going to be in Psalm 116 if you want to turn there, but I'll have it on the screen as well. And before we get into it too far, though, let me tell you kind of where we're headed as you're turning there. So today we're going to work through the first half of the psalm. It's almost going to be like a two-for-one sermon here. In the first half of the psalm, we're going to be talking about why do we love God, and we're going to work through that together. The second half of the psalm, we're going to have this perfect example of what do you do after you decide that you love God. Okay, so that's where we're headed with the sermon. So let me pray as we're getting there. Jesus, I thank you that you are a God who saves. And there are bigger, badder things in Western Independence than that dog. And I pray that you would save us today. Whatever's going wrong in our lives, God, I pray you would show us the way out of it. And I pray you do the things that we can't do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this psalm starts off, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. So something that stuck out to me right away about that story is I just thought, God help. It wasn't like even like a fancy prayer. I didn't get down on my knees and say, God, please, you know, rebuke this dog or something, you know, like it wasn't anything like that. It's just God help. And that's all he needed to take action. I want you to remember those first five words or six words. I love the Lord for he. We're going to come back to that here in just a couple minutes. Because God turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. So the guy that's writing the song says, because God was there for me when I needed him, I'm going to be loyal to God. Verse 3, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. I'm not a songwriter, but that's pretty much how I felt to some extent, is this idea of I'm about to die. I mean, that's basically what this guy is saying in much flowery language, but that's what he's saying. I'm worried about dying. Verse 4, then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. So the guy had, I don't know what happened to him, but something where he's afraid of dying. And then he just says three words, Lord, save me. So, you know, big thing we're about here, Josh Monk taught us, is don't just talk about it, be about it. We don't have a lot of time during the sermon to do a lot of actions, but we're going to do a little bit today. And this guy in the song, he said, I love God because God did something in my life. I want us all to take the time to do that thing ourselves. So you got pads of paper around you, little sermon notepads. There may not be enough for everybody, but break off some paper, make some friends with the people around you. Use some pens. It should be all that stuff kind of around the pews around you. I want you to write out, I love the Lord for he did blank in my life. Okay? And don't say, I love God because God loves me. That's, you know, Let's get specific, okay? I love God because he saved me from a dog when I was 15. Or you throw in your own thing, okay? And it's okay if it's not the best reason in your whole life. Just think of something specific that comes to mind. I love God because he did something that I saw, that I witnessed. Now, if you're here today and you're like, Jake, I don't have any stories about dogs. I don't have any. I'm here at church and I don't know what you're talking about. Then I'll let you get a little creative. What would make you love God? What would God need to do in your life for you to love him? Why don't you write that down? So if you have an experience, write the specifics out. Don't get vague on me. Get specific. Matthias is thinking hard about this. He's about to get the pen and paper out. He hasn't yet, but, oh, he's got it. Okay, good. I've called him out. Okay, so he's thinking still. But write that down. I love the Lord for he did something he did, okay? I'll let you guys write for a second. Okay, you can keep writing while I'm talking if you want. But we're going to move on. What does he say next about it? Because he had this experience with God, he's able to describe God, some of God's characteristics. Just like we get to know someone when we see him do stuff, he says, this is what I know about God. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. And he talks about how he knows it. He says, the Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. So that unwary word really stuck out to me when I was reading this psalm. And Bob could maybe correct me if I'm wrong. I think this is the only time I remember in the Bible someone giving God praise for protecting the unwary or unwary. So people that get into a mess that their mom probably could have told them to avoid. You know, like people that do something stupid or did something foolish or were someplace they shouldn't have been. Why did that guy put that? That's a weird adjective to put in there. The unwary. And he tells us why. He says, when I was brought low, he saved me. So this guy's talking about his own story. This guy got into some mess that maybe his parents told him he shouldn't have done, or maybe just now being a little older, he knows like, oh, I shouldn't have needed saving. I shouldn't have done that thing that got me in the mess. So when he was being foolish, he did something that got him down low, and God was compassionate and saved him. So this guy's getting into his own life story, And then that's how he knows who God is. So you guys may already have a guess what our step two is here. Okay, so now on your paper, you might have to flip to the back. You might have to borrow a sheet of paper from your friend. But say, I know the Lord is, and put out one character trait. Whether it's compassionate, whether it's loyal, whether it's holy, whether it's I know the Lord is smart, whether it is whatever it is, I know the Lord is because he did blank for me. So for instance, I could put, I know the Lord is a listener because when I asked him, he saved me. Or I know God's powerful because when I couldn't help me, he helped me. Or I know God sees me because when no one else was around to take care of me, God was around to take care of me. I mean, you guys get creative on your own. What do you want to write? What do you know about God because of what he did in your life? This isn't what a Sunday school teacher taught you. It isn't what you read somewhere. It's what have you seen for yourself? And again, if you're here today and you're like, I don't have any experiences, Jake. I'm brand new. You're talking gibberish to me. You already said earlier, you wrote on your sheet of paper, I would love God if he did this in my life. So now say something you want to see in God. I would know God's compassionate if he could do this for me. We'll let you get creative on that. If you're brand new, get creative on something that you would like to know about God, something you would like him to do in your life. I know the writing seems silly. Some of you guys are just staring at me like, come on, Jake, I don't need to write this down. It's all up here. But writing helps us. I'm telling you, there's a reason this guy wrote this thing down that we're reading today. Writing it helps it be more real to you, helps it stick in your brain more. And you're stuck with me for the next, 15, 20 minutes. So let's just do it Jake's way and see what happens. Maybe it won't work out. That's okay, but let's try it at least, okay? We're going to read on a little further. Now that this guy, he says, I love God because he would have did it in my life, and I know these things about God because of what he did for me. Then he says my favorite verse of the whole chapter. He says, return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. How many of you have had giant things happen in your life, much bigger than being saved from a dog? But this last week, you were stressed out of your gourd, running around, trying to fix all your problems yourself. That's me half the time, I feel like. Well, this guy is giving himself some advice. He's saying, slow down. Take a breath and realize, God has been good to you. Whatever you're worried about right now, chill out about it and remember how much God has done in your life. That's the right way to face today's problems, is after you've remembered what God's done for you. If you're here today and you're like, Jake, I'm the guy that hasn't had God do anything in my life, well, then this is where you're headed. You're headed to somebody that can face hard stuff because of what God's done in their life, okay? Let's keep reading on. Verse 8, for you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I'm greatly afflicted. Note that word trust, because look at this next verse. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. So this guy doesn't give the details of what happened to him, but we know he got into a situation that wasn't smart to get into. We know he wound up down low. You know he needed saving because he's worried he's going to get killed. And now we know he felt like everyone around him he couldn't trust. Some of us don't have to look very far at all to feel sympathy with that sort of moment. Where you're down low, you're in a place you should have never been at, and everyone around you, you feel like you can't trust. But did you notice in verse 10, he said, but I can trust God. The way God showed up in his life, he knows he can trust God. Even if he can't trust anybody else, God's proven trustworthy because of what happened. So then here's verse 12. You can't go through something like that and not be affected. And so here's what he says in verse 12. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I mean, this will preach itself, I feel like. I mean, I feel like when you start thinking about how good God has been in your life, well, then what are you going to do about it? If God's done all this big stuff in your life, are you going to just trample on it and waste it? If God's saved you out of all sorts of junk from your old life, and then some girl thinks you're cute and wants to take you home, like, are you just going to say, like, yeah, well, I'm glad God got me into the spot where she likes me, and I'm going to go, you know? What are you going to do with what God's given you? So that's what I want you to talk about. In response to what the Lord's done for me this week, because I love getting into the here and now, this week I'm going to, and make it specific, okay? I can't coach you on what exactly to say, but make it specific. Make it something different. Make it something that connects with what God did in your life. So, you know, in early service, people were talking about, I went around in the mic in early service. You guys get off easy around in the mic and asked them in early service what they said. But people were talking about wanting to be more present with God, wanting to read their Bible more, things like that. You could also talk about, you know, if God was there for you when no one else would pay attention to you, maybe you can say, Jesus, show me somebody that you want me to be there for when no one else is paying attention to them. Maybe you're here today and you're like, God, you brought me through some sort of problem that I couldn't get over on my own. But maybe you've taken a couple steps back towards that problem here recently. And you're not nearly as bad as you used to be, but maybe you know that you're not headed in a good direction. And maybe you say, because of what God did, setting me free and breaking me out of stuff I could never break out of, I'm going to take some positive steps to work on me with God. This week, I'm not going to throw away the stuff, the gifts that God's given me. So write something down that you want to do because God loves you and because you've seen that. If you're here today and you're like, I don't have anything to write because I'm new. If God would show up in your life today, if God would take care of whatever thing you wrote that you wanted him to work on, what would you do? If you came in today and you said, like, I'm addicted to something, I can't get over it. If you came in today and said, I've got a broken relationship, I can't fix it. If you came in today and said, I've got some sort of physical problem I can't get out of. What if today if you said, Lord, help. I can't fix this thing. Lord, help me with it. I'll do it your way. Would you be willing to do what it takes to live that out? Okay, so I told you today we got kind of a two-part series or two-part sermon here. We're still going to get out at noon, so don't worry with that. But we've got this formula here, and it's kind of something we've been talking about recently quite a bit, of when we spend time in love with Jesus, then we do something because of the love for Jesus. It's really important that step one is really getting close and loving him, and then step two comes out of it. If you just say, like, what's the best things I could do and write a list, that's not nearly as powerful as because Jesus did something for me and I love him, I'm going to do something. So that's the formula, but Jesus is the perfect example of that formula. And so as we go through the second half of the psalm, I want you to get kind of creative with me. We're going to get out kind of on a limb that we're going to imagine something that may or may not have happened, but I think it'll lead us to a good place. So this psalm is part of a series of psalms that were in tradition, Jewish tradition, are sung at Passover. And Jesus, the night he was betrayed by one of his disciples, right before getting beat up and tortured and killed on a cross, his last meal with his disciples was Passover meal. And they probably, not for sure, but they probably sang this song and some other songs. We don't know for sure. I wasn't there recording stuff. But there's a decent chance. Maybe or maybe didn't happen, but there's a decent chance. Well, we're going to read the second half of this psalm, and we're going to think about what if Jesus were singing this the day the night that he was about to get betrayed? What would his emotions have been? Okay, so, sorry, I'm going backwards. There we go. So I think this would be kind of his pose on his face, may or may not. Like I said, We're using our imaginations, but let's look through and see where this takes us, okay? Verse 13, right after saying, because God's good, this is what I want to do for him. Here's the next verse. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Jesus, throughout his time on earth, you read through the Gospels, he talks over and over about how good God is, how much what he does is trying to reflect God, trying to do the things that God has told him to do. What's the ultimate thing Jesus does on earth in obedience to God? It is lifting the cup of salvation. At the Passover meal, he gets with his disciples and he lifts up a cup to him. He says, this is a symbol of my blood that's going to be poured out for you. And that's the new covenant. So, Jesus potentially singing these words is thinking about, yep, it's about to get real. Like, we've been talking about this stuff, but I'm about to go do this ultimately. I'm about to go pour my blood out to lift the cup of salvation. Verse 14, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, they've existed forever. When they created us, they had some idea what it was going to cost. Jesus didn't decide on Good Friday, I'm going to die for the world today. There was this idea that this has been part of the plan. We know humanity is going to fall. We know it's going to cost us to offer a chance to get back. Jesus came with a mission. And so this idea of I'm going to fulfill my vows, I'm going to do the things that I've said I'm going to do. I'm going to do them in front of these people. Verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Like, can you imagine singing that with Jesus as one of his disciples maybe, and then seeing everything that happened and thinking back to that moment? If we just sang that, and then Jesus went out and died for us. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. Now, I don't know that Jesus ever had chains. Maybe my analogy here is breaking down. The thing about I serve you just as my mother did, though, I think if Jesus sang that, I think that would have been a piercing thing to sing. We do know from the Gospel of John that Jesus was thinking about his mom in these last days. Like, while he's on the cross, he's getting one of his disciples to take care of his biological mom, to take care of Mary. And I don't know if Jesus got inspiration from Mary. I don't know that that's quite how it works. But I do think that's a really touching line. And when you look at the Gospel of Luke, it shows us Mary's heart. It's this incredible heart of a servant. This heart that's, I'm willing to do whatever God asks me to do, even if I don't understand it. And when we see Jesus pray right before he gets betrayed, he says, not my will, but your will, God. Jesus is the ultimate inspiration. He's the ultimate one we look to. But you start thinking about what emotions were going through his head as he's facing that. Verse 17, I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vow to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Jesus died for us, and he did it in Jerusalem. Right outside the city is where they crucified him. And when I think about today's psalm and the point for us, we have to realize and remember what God's done for us if we want to have any hope to follow God the way Jesus did. Jesus spent a lot of time alone, even though there was a lot of needs, even though he had a lot of pressure on him. He spent a lot of time alone with God. And when he did speak, he spoke the sort of things that came out of that time alone with God. When he did act, he acted with confidence. I'm doing the works that my Heavenly Father has given me to do. When people had problems, he showed up with the power that God has. If you're running around trying to do a lot of good stuff or trying to do a lot of stuff for yourself or whatever, and it's not working, what if you tried out this formula? of I'm going to spend time with Jesus and I'm going to be in love with Jesus first. That's my first goal every day. If I haven't spent time thinking, God, I love you, if I haven't been inspired in that way, then I'm not ready to do any sort of actions for God. So I put up this story. This is what I remember from that dog story. I can remember that dog's teeth. I mean, obviously, it's not a picture. And the dog in my memory looks scarier than this dog. I don't know if that's accurate. You might laugh at me if you saw the real dog. I don't know. But in my mind, it was gigantic, you know. When I think of that story, I remember the teeth, and I remember how afraid I was. And because I remember that, it means so much to me that the moment I said, God help, that he helped. A couple weeks ago, I was with some other pastors at a conference, and lots of good ideas got shared, but the biggest thing that God laid on me was we were worshiping, and I felt like God just reached out of my heart and just like pushed me of like, Jake, why do you love me? And like, tell me right now. And I started blabbing to him about a different time where God saved me out of danger, that I've already told you guys that story, so I didn't want to repeat that. But I started blabbing to God about that and to Jesus, and I start remembering how much better he is at fixing problems than I am. And as I remember this story, I remember how much he cares about me and how powerful he is. And Jesus was pushing in on me about first things first, Jake. Like, I felt like he said specifically to me, do you trust me? Like, you know John 15:5. Remain in me and I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. So do you trust that? Because even as a pastor, I can get running around trying to help this or that thing and do this or that thing and produce this or that thing. If I haven't really stayed connected with the tree trunk, with Jesus, then I'm not going to do anything that matters. Because it doesn't matter if you're a pastor, doesn't matter what job you have, you're just like a branch. And if it doesn't matter what's happening on the outside of the branch, the inside of the branch isn't connected to that sap of the trunk, then it's dead. Doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. And if you're trying to run around and do good stuff, but you're not spending time in love with Jesus, then you're doing it wrong. What if this week you didn't do anything until you had stirred that fire of your love for Jesus? I don't think you'd regret it 7 days from now. So you're here today. I told you earlier we'd have a little talk for you at the end. If you're here today and you're like, I don't know this Jesus you're talking about, well, here's what I challenge you to do. The way you find out about Jesus is you talk to somebody that does know him. And so look around your aisle. You can do it kind of nonchalantly. Maybe not right this second, but you look around your aisle. And find somebody who filled up their page. Find somebody who wrote a lot about what God's done in their life. Because the people that didn't really want to write very much, like, I wouldn't talk to those people. I would talk to somebody that wrote a whole bunch, you know? Somebody that's like, man, this paper's not big enough. Give me another sheet. You know, like, I got a lot that God's done in my life. I want to talk to that guy. But how do I get a relationship with God like you have? I want God to be filling up the pages. So talk to that person. That person will know what to do. If they don't, like, we've got coaches here and come talk to me, but I have confidence that person will know what to do. How do you get started getting this sort of relationship where God does stuff in your life? That's what we're about here at Maywood. We're about making disciples. We're about people that do the things that Jesus did, okay? So I want to pray a blessing over you. And my blessing is that God would stir that fire, that love, that hunger for him. And my challenge is you guys would do something with that love, okay? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that we don't have to look very far. We don't have to ask for very long, and you will show up in our life. And God, I know there's a lot of miracles that have been done in this room. Jesus, I pray this week you would stoke that fire of love for you. Every person in this room who is hungry for you, I pray you would fill them up with love for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.